So welcome back to the show, or welcome forward to the show. You are listening to the International Mastermind Association, the official organization of Masterminders worldwide. We are the Planned with Intention Mastermind Group. I am Janelle McNeil. With us today also is our very special, very interesting and engaging guest, Eric Canned. Okay, go ahead, Vaughn.
I was going to say that we need to rename this segment the Eric Canned Show. He is on fire. I can't even ask the question because he's answering them as a, I'm like, is he a brain? Does he read the brain?
Right.
I'm doing a preemptive strike on all of their questions.
I know. I'm with that. This is the Eric Canned Show. Okay, so you all going ahead with your questions before I jump in with more of mine, because I do want to also get into auto-suggestion and how the brain works, which you've already touched on, Eric, but I won't do that sneak slide in that I was about to do. So going ahead, Vaughn.
Well, my question is, can you actually hypnotize or get your mind to do things that you wouldn't normally do? As far as, you know, one situation with me, at one point in my life, I got to the point where I needed a job really bad, and I didn't want to do, I didn't want to be a salesman. And as a part of doing that, you know, because I needed a job, I had to go ahead and take that job. I took the job, and I didn't know anything about that. My whole life, I was told that I was shy. I felt that I was a shy person, that, you know, you don't speak much, you don't say a lot, so you normally wouldn't do a job like a salesman job, because a salesman job, you have to be out there, you have to talk to people and be engaging and all of those things. So through this hard time, you know, I kind of, you know, tried it out and actually ended up being, you know, pretty good at it. And I had to tell myself that it's already things in my life that I do that are along those lines. Like when I'm talking with my friends, I have no problem engaging myself with them, talking to them, you know, having a good time, trying to convince them on certain issues and things like that. So why can't I do that to a complete stranger? And over that time, I realized that, oh, I not only had these skills already, but I was actually good at doing these things, and I was already capable of it. But I was trying to find out, is that overcoming that block, that mental block right there, is that a part of you, I guess, hypnotizing yourself or getting yourself to transform your mind?
Well, yeah, that's a good point. So you're taking a new position, and you had a lot of programming from when you were young. Basically, that was giving you a lot of internal resistance, because you have been led to believe as a child that you weren't good at this particular thing, or you're shy, you're introverted. And these, of course, we know are not truths, but they're true for you as long as they're part of your belief system. And we all have beliefs, we all have emotional issues and or baggage or whatever you want to call it. And the original seeds for almost all of these things, the original seeds are almost always planted at a very young age. So probably sooner or later somebody might ask about regression therapy. There's two types of regression therapy. One is past life regression, which we probably have no business even talking about in this particular segment. But the other one is regular regression therapy, which is if we trace an emotional issue all the way back to where it originally came about, it's almost always at a very young age, before the even age of, usually it's before the age of 7. And why is that? Why do we get these imprints from such a young age? Well, in many respects, we can define hypnosis as being the absence of a critical factor. So what do I mean by that? We've got a conscious mind and we have a subconscious mind. As we go through lives as an adult, anything we hear, anything we're exposed to is immediately filtered through all of our past experiences, and we usually immediately have some kind of an opinion on it. So if you have a Democrat, you've got a Republican, they're going to have two totally different reactions maybe to the same exact piece of information based on their belief system. So it's not truth, just what they believe. So, but as a child, so we have a critical factor. Everything we're exposed to is being critically analyzed instantly and automatically and then filtered appropriately. Children have no critical factor, meaning a child under the age of 7 is always in a state of deep hypnosis. They're in what's called the super learning mode, because your subconscious mind is the source of all permanent memory. A child comes into the world with a clean slate. They are prepared and equipped to massively absorb any amount of information. They can learn three languages at a time. They're filling that brain up. There is no sensor. There is no critical factor to analyze these things. It goes right in there, and it immediately is a truth. So how easy it is to tell your young child that there's a big fat man that is going to come down the chimney delivering toys, right? Do they argue with you?
No, that's not possible. They are so excited.
And how long does it take for them to finally, you know, imagine you could probably, you know, I can still remember the day when it occurred to me that perhaps Santa Claus might not be true. You know, I mean, it was that. And this is like emotional stuff, you know. I mean, I'm having to let it go of a belief that was in there and rock solid, and now I'm finding out it was like a betrayal of some sort, you know what I mean? So it's not easy. It's not easy to get rid of these beliefs. Once they're there in place, trust me, they are there for the long haul. So remember when we were talking about that example of being angry with somebody? I can't tell you how many times I've seen two angry family members that haven't talked to each other for 10 years or more because of some stupid incident that they don't even remember exactly what happened, but they're not going to be the one to forgive the other person because I'm right and they're wrong. You know, your ego would much rather be right than to be happy. So that holds us all back in a big way. But yeah, it's like, how many? Hey, we've had people running governments that will allow millions of people to die, before they will admit they were wrong about something.
Oh,
you know,
that's the power of the ego.
It's not there to make you happy. It's more interested in being right. So that's sort of a famous thing. I can't remember who said it. Would you rather be right, or would you rather be happy, or would you rather be right, or would you rather be in love? You know, so kids are always, they're absorbing information. They don't really have this critical factor. So in many ways, the kid is in a deep state of hypnosis, and they're just accepting suggestions and information coming from you. You're the authority figure as a parent. They're just accepting these things as fact because they don't really have anything to relate it to or analyze it against. But as an adult, you've got all these subconscious prints in there, and they're all rock solid, and that you're just reacting to things at this point. You're not you've got this critical factor, and things you don't really think about things, and you just respond to them based on all these past experiences. And if you have a belief system that says I'm no good at talking to people in this situation, that belief is going to influence your emotions in a very powerful way. A different thing, it can't be changed. But your subconscious mind, it is your faithful servant, but it is also very lazy. It's not going to just start making changes on the fly because that belief system's been in place for decades. And it's much easier just to let it slide because God knows you're probably going to change your mind about yourself or what you want to do next week. So the only way to impart your seriousness of your intentions on your subconscious mind is to be consistent about what you want and being very direct about what you want. We already talked about, you know, 98% of the people don't even really know what they want to get out of life, and they're not even clear. They don't really have any specific goals. So subconscious mind is lazy. It just keeps doing their same old thing. So the analogy I like to use here is that of a cruise ship. Cruise ship, one of these large cruise ships has approximately about 1,200 to 1,500 crew, not even including the passengers. So many crew members, there's one captain on board. That captain, that one person, that would be your conscious mind. The 1,300 crew members additional, that's the subconscious mind. All the resources, all the labor, all the power, all the energy is all in the subconscious part of your mind. Your conscious mind has very little to do. It's just got the power of just one person. So you can think about, for example, your short-term memory. If somebody gives you a phone number, you're trying to struggle to remember these seven digits. You're repeating it over and over and over. Why is it so difficult? because that's your conscious mind. It's only got a very limited power to hold maybe up to 7 digits. Your subconscious mind, that's your permanent memory. You can think back to a family picnic, and you might remember, oh, man, it was a sunny day, and we were eating fried chicken. We had all these great fruit salads and potato salad and all these things, and we were talking about this, and the family was there. And we also had, I mean, you can remember this very vivid with pictures, images, and it's all there from a fleeting instant where you're not even attempting to make a memory. Because the subconscious mind, it holds millions of bits of information for any specific instance, and it does it with no effort whatsoever on your part. So where was I going with this? Oh, okay, about the how you're going to reprogram yourself. So your captain is the decision maker of the cruise ship. But most people, because they don't know what they want, they're not even utilizing their conscious mind to be the director of things. It's like he just sits there in a chair and never makes a decision. So if that crew is used to a particular type of itinerary, which they've been doing over and over and over again, unless the captain shows up with a new directive, the whole crew is just going to do the same old things they've been doing before, same old itinerary. It's up to you to engage your conscious imagination to be the captain and to command the troops, your subconscious mind, and tell it what you expect and where you're going to go. And right there is where most people are dead in the water. They don't even do that much. No clear goal, no expectations, no definiteness of purpose, nothing written down, no plans, or it's like you said, they have this, they have some idea in their head of what they want is phrased in the negative, so it means it's just basically kind of circling back and pointing to what they already have.
Wow. Yeah. I'd like to remind our listeners that you are listening to the Plans with Intention Mastermind Group of the International Mastermind Association. Our guest that you hear speaking is Master Hypnotist Eric Cand. Can you please share your information with everyone on how they can get in contact with you?
The easiest way to get a hold of me, it's all in one place. The website is hypnosisevents.com. So hypnosisevents.com, and that's the way you can connect me by email, phone, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and future social media we haven't even invented yet. It's all going to be right there. And that's also, if you just want to... Hey, I've got a blog there, so I usually, though I do work as an entertainer, I'm always blogging about things that interest me, such as Think and Grow Rich principles, you know, because by blogging, I just find it helps to solidify concepts in my own mind so I can apply them to my own life because, you know, that's how I got into this in the whole first place. I used to have a terrible fear of public speaking, and I didn't mention that. That's what got me into self-improvement and to really re-explore hypnosis, I guess. That's the funny thing. Your biggest weakness can become your biggest strength if you apply the right energy and intention behind it.